Blog Talk Radio.
You have room on your team for this little space, bitch.
Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Tonight. I'm your host, Todd, the True Guaparino, and, of course, I will be joined shortly by Mr. R.C. Rizza. I got a whopper of a show for you guys, and we're going to probably go like we have been lately, a little over an hour, to give you the best fantasy football advice in the world and on six planets, including one dwarf planet known as Ceres. Ceres, what a wonderful dwarf planet it is. I want to give a shout-out to one of my listeners, Justin Walter, who been listening to me for years. And I always love, I know there's about 1,000 people, maybe more, maybe 1,000 to 15, maybe 2,000 people who've been listening to me every week for years. And me and RC just rant and rave about our lunacy of picks. And Justin is one of them. And he's going to be shooting down to Las Vegas next month. And Justin, I can't wait to meet you and your girlfriend. We'll hook up with my wife over down there at Green Valley Ranch, and we'll have a blast, and I cannot wait to meet you. I love meeting listeners and other experts in the industry who I have met quite a few of in my time, and I know we're going to hear from Kenny and hopefully Jersey today as well, two of our most loyal listeners. And I got to swear, man, I was listening to Sirius Radio the other day, and I heard a guy sound just like Kenny asking questions, but it wasn't Kenny's players. Anyhow, I'm going to go on a little monologue here. RC, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
You know what I'm going to say, so you just got to bear down with my Todd Guaparino monologue for a second here, okay?
All right.
This is kind of from the heart. This is from the heart. This is not the DFS one. That's monologue number two. Yeah, you've got two of them. And Kenny, just please hold for a moment. You're going to like this. First of all, there's a reason why I got into this industry, RC. Back in 2003, I just wanted to put together a search engine. I was a fantasy football nut since 92 myself. I used to play where you wrote down players on notebooks. I mean, like we all did. I then wrote a program in BASIC to calculate scores while I was in the Air Force in like 95. So, been around doing this. But in 2003,
I'm sorry. So it wasn't true that you did it for the children? That's what you've always told me.
Listen, there are hungry kids across the world, and me playing fantasy football, I convinced my wife that was, in fact, feeding them a line of bull. No, I did it because, I saw it as a growing, emerging industry. I mean, I'm a college-educated person, unlike most of the people on Sirius Radio, and I understood the emerging market that was coming from fantasy sports, and I wanted to help it. I wanted to help grow that industry and actually build it into an industry. So I started a site called Fantasy Football Search because back then Google wasn't as perfected as it is now. And if you looked up fantasy football, you would sometimes get X-rated sites or, sites about dreaming about being a football player or whatever. You'd get that kind of stuff. So in 2003, I launched Fantasy Football Search and started not only pulling in only the best sites, but also advising those sites and getting those sites propelled on my site. Sites grew from my site. And it's how I met everybody in the industry. And I made a lot of friends in the industry. I never dogged a site. I always gave them advice and help on how to better their site. And then eventually, people were able to rate their sites on my site, and that helped them further as well. I then got involved in podcasting and writing and became a member of the Fantasy Sports Writers Association. Did all the things that normal folks do. Went to conventions, went to a couple of the Fantasy Sports Trade Association conventions when they came out here to Vegas. Did my part to help grow the industry, okay? And I've been around for a while. And I now see what the industry has become. And it hasn't become the industry that I dreamed and hoped it would become. But I want people out there to know this, that there are a lot of people out there, particularly loudmouths, that are the spokesmen now for the industry. And it's embarrassing to some degree, but it's also some degree it's not. There are a lot of still good people out there. But I wanted to let people know that, you know, the kids who are listening now, the 14, 15-year-olds who probably barely know who I or you are, RC, or don't know a lot of the people who brought this industry to where it is. Not the people who are feeding off it now, but the people who have brought it out to where it is now. And I want to give some shout-out to some of those people, okay? Some of the people who actually, you know, besides you, RC, who are one of the founding members of really a fantasy football, and the work that you did brought offensive lines into the game, brought goal line touches into the game, brought pass targets into the game. That's your, you know, Hall of Fame touch on fantasy sports. Nobody talked about that stuff until you did, RC. And I was one of the first people out there bringing in receivers saying, hey, PPR leagues are the wave of the future. Stop calling standard leagues, and PPR leagues. Start calling standard leagues PPR leagues. That's what I believe. And I'm the one, and I remember I was last off of an expert draft because I took back-to-back end of the first round wide receivers in a mock draft that the famous Tony Cincotta laughed me off at. But now people take, you know, receivers in the first league, the first round all the time. And even quarterbacks now go. But back then, they didn't. After me and other folks in the industry pumped them up, they do. That's beside the point. But there are other people who lay the foreground for fantasy sports, and they deserve a shout-out, not only on my show, but they deserve a shout-out on the few hundred listeners who listen to SiriusXM Radio as well. And those people are, of course, Jeffrey Stein of Great Mock Draft Central and other sites. Mike Kuchera, who's since retired. He's no longer in the industry, but not only a marvelous human being, but a fantastic fantasy baseball writer. Adam Ronis, still cranking at it, one of the greatest champions. I would never want to face off against him because he has a mind that was built for baseball. And the nicest guy in the industry next to RC Rizzo, Ryan Lester. I mean, just an absolute awesome human being and a fantastic fantasy football expert. Corey Schwartz, great Kellogg, who recently retired. I'm sorry, Mr. Mans. He's not in the industry anymore either, but I think he's an icon. Of course, you know, John Hansen, who never really liked me because I took the true guru and he was the fantasy guru, but an amazing person nonetheless, okay? I can understand why he was a little. Roy Daniels, the Marine, who ran his fantasy sports site, is no longer doing it. Jeff Bogus, who still is doing it and is another amazing human being. But the kids of today won't know what Jeff laid down the path for to make it possible for great draft kits. Of course, Jeff Porcini, fantasy football starter, is another amazing person. Mike Bowser, one of our own, who actually was one of the first people to rate fantasy experts and at the end of the year show who was the most spot-on fantasy expert. Thank God he never rated me, RC. then my own brother, Chris Farino, who did a marvelous job. And frankly, you know, he's my older brother, and I swear to God I'm smarter than him, but I find it almost impossible to beat him. It's like it's a curse, RC. Smitty, over at Fantasy, for the former Fantasy Football Extreme, genius. Hattie, and then even I'm going to give a shout-out to Paul Greco, who personally damaged me as a person throughout his life. But if it wasn't for him on podcasting, which he started, you know, really the Fantasy podcasting on Blog Talk Radio, we probably wouldn't be here today, RC. So I want to give a shout-out to Paul Greco. Now, why am I doing this? Well, today, RC, if you don't know, I finally spoke to my Padawan, Jeff Manns. If you don't know what a Padawan is, that's the guy who gets trained by the Jedi. He's a little rookie. So years on end ago, I brought Jeff Manns into the spotlight when I scooped him up from his Scout Fantasy Football site after he asked to be submitted on Fantasy Football Search, and I was looking for another podcaster with me and RC because we were growing something. We were growing a network, and he joined us, and I taught him a lot of what he knows, and of course he's branched out and made himself into his own brand now, but that's how he got started. From a librarian IT technician to the scout. That's how we did it. Well, today, RC, you know, I haven't really spoke too much to Jeff Manns over the years after he basically was fired for, you know, lack of loyalty. I mean, that is what it's about in this world is loyalty. I got a tattoo on my arm, and I have forever been loyal to people like RC, and I will always stand next to him unless you rape little kids, RC. I can't stand next to you there. But outside of that, everything else, you're a squared-up guy. But for the record, RC has never raped a little kid. That was a joke. Are you cool with that, RC? Total joke.
Yeah, you know, this. I am kind of wondering about the point. And we talked today, and I had no idea what you're doing. And I'm kind of wondering about the point of this monologue. I'm afraid you're to embark on a dangerous space mission, and we're never going to see you again. Well, I mean, all right, I'll let you finish.
I have been drafted. I have been drafted into war. No. But the bottom line is getting back to it, is that I've sat here, okay, and I have worked with some amazing people. And I have helped grow this industry into what it is. And I might not be as heavily involved, but I'm sorry, Jeff, who tweeted me and told me that I'm not, don't even tell me I'm in the fantasy industry. Yeah, Jeff, I make $80,000 a year, and I do part-time handicapping here in Las Vegas. I'm not involved in your industry. I'm not involved in your industry. You're right, I'm not. I'm not involved in DFS. That's what I'm not involved in, okay? But I want to apologize to Jeff. I want to apologize, and I have it down here. I want to apologize for giving you your start. I want to apologize for being the one who said, I'm going to put this guy on the radio, and I'm going to take all the backlash for your cursing and whatnot, but I'm sorry for giving you your start. And I'm sorry for firing you, for not being loyal, and for being drunk at a fantasy sports convention and yelling profanities at Matthew Berry. You know what I'm talking about, Ted Schuster. You were there. Yeah, we're the ones who had to pull his drunk ass out of there, okay? And I'm sorry for starting Josh McCown last week. See, this is how this all started. Jeff said on his show, he goes, he didn't believe anybody started Josh McCown last week. Okay, so send me a screenshot via Twitter. I took a screenshot. I started Josh McCown over Derek Carr. Why did I do that? Because I'm a freaking genius. I don't know. Am I a freaking genius, RC, or am I just lucky? I don't really care. I did it, all right? You know how much I love Derek Carr, but I said, you know what, I'm going to go with McNown this week. I feel it. I don't like the other matchup. And I blew away Mike Bowser in this expo league. I sent that off to Jeff. Jeff just kind of railed on me for it. You can go to his Twitter, go to my Twitter, at True Guru Freno. Go ahead and read it. It's there. So he basically railed on me about that and said, you know, I'd like to see you start next week. That was his response. He didn't say, hey, great start, Todd. Great move. You're a genius. No, I didn't get that. So try to start him next week. Well, guess what, Jeff? I'm going to start him next week. You know why I'm going to start him next week against the Broncos, RC? Ask me why I'm going to start him over Derek Carr next week.
Why?
Because Derek Carr is not playing next week.
So okay.
You bet I'm going to start him.
Right.
Derek Carr is off this week. So my final apology is, you know, again, for starting Josh McCown. I'm sorry that I went against your advice, your marvelous advice, and I started Josh McCown. I didn't start Kamir Aiken or one of the other desperate ploys that you put out there, Jeff, but that's how it is. But the real problem here, RC, is I'm going to move on because, I mean, you know, there are people in this world who actually want to better the industry, and there are people in this world who are just trying to make a buck off it. And there's a certain integrity that has to be put into place, and I think throughout the years, you and I have proven our integrity, because you don't make a lot of money doing fantasy. I don't make a lot. I mean, I know I make more money personally than Jeff, because he lacks college education and he lacks really anything more than just some pure luck to be able to get into the industry. And people like me who helped get him there, nobody helped me get here. I just did it myself. But I'm going to say this. You know, I didn't kiss Al Williams' ass either, so I'll just leave it to that. But here's what I say is this whole thing with Sirius Radio, first of all, he also said that, you know, he said that our expert league was not really an expert league, and that he's in the big league, and we're not. We're not in the big league. He's on Sirius Radio. No, RC, he's not on the NFL Network. That would probably be considered the big leagues. No, he doesn't, you know, he's not on AM syndicated radio like Howard Stern, how he used to be, but like other, you know, syndicated radio shows like Colin Cowherd and, you know, Dan Patrick. You know, he's on the little Sirius Radio. That's what he's on. Okay, Jeff, you got me. You know what? You're a sellout. And I'm going to say it's RC, and I've been wanting to say it for weeks, and now you gave me permission. I think that the DFS FanDuel-supported crap that's going on out there is nothing but a sellout. Their people are given advice for gambling, and they've turned away from the traditional fantasy sports, and now they're selling everybody on this gambling, which, by the way, is going to crumble. And it's going to take with it a large chunk of the fantasy sports industry. And it's going to be such a black eye on fantasy sports when it happens that it's going to damage the industry for years to come. And it's going to be people like a lot of the folks on Sirius Radio, not every one of them, but a lot of the folks on Sirius Radio who are sitting here and walking away from the traditional fantasy sports and peddling DFS. Because why? Not because they think it's a better way to play. Not because they think it's the wave of the future. Because they're paid to. See, I'm not paid by anybody, Jeff. I make advertising dollars. Don't worry about that. I make money, you know, doing some spare time handicapping. I do that stuff. You get paid by FanDuel to sell FanDuel. Okay, so don't ever tell me that I'm not in this industry, because I'm the one who helped build it. And all those names that I gave there, 20 years from now, maybe nobody will know these names except for maybe Kellogg and Corey Schwartz. But those are the people, including the two guys sitting right here, who gave you your start, who built the industry on our back so you can have it. And now all you do is you do this illegal gambling DFS crap. Yeah, the reason why FanDuel doesn't actually advertise me is because I wouldn't take them. I had DraftKings on with me for like about 6 months, and I cut them loose once I realized what it was. Yeah, I want to enter a league with 77,000 people, and I want FanDuel to put up commercials and act like I can put $5 in and win $1 million, Jeff. Because if you believe that, you're lying to yourself. RC, I want your take on that, because I know you have a take on it, and you're much more eloquent in the way you say it. And then we'll get over to Kenny and get ready and get our show started. And I apologize for wasting my listeners' time on a person like Jeff Mann. Go ahead, Katoni. I mean, RC.
I understand, you know, your position against and, you know, we agree on this, and that it does – there is something that kind of undermines, you know, whatever integrity there is for fantasy sports. And it started off as, you know, such a harmless and innocent – you know, it started off in the 1950s as, you know, fantasy golf, actually, and, you know, where guys would, like – and then baseball, and, you know, where the commissioner would have to basically tally things with a pencil. And now it's turned into a multi-billion dollar industry. And that's fine, you know, if there was, like, it didn't have really this tarnish of, like, what you're saying is kind of like this new innovation, which really cannot be characterized as anything other than gambling. But once again, I am fine with that. And, you know, like we talked about today, how Commissioner Goodell, you know, which I've heard the reason why, you know, because he was basically, you know, asked about, you know, how he felt about basically this new, you know, daily fantasy revolution. And his position on it was that he really didn't see any harm in it. Because of you know, essentially the way that teams are assembled, where you're basically picking players from all different games and all different rosters, and he can't see how there can be like any nefarious intent or, you know, undermining objectives to that, because it's not really predicated on the outcome of like single games and what have you. But I do agree with you that, you know, it should be called gambling because that's what it is. I'm a libertarian, so I'm fine with it. It's like, of course, no one wants to see it get abused, and certainly there are addictive personalities that, you know, the same ones that get addicted to, you know, gambling basically can be a disease, and no one likes to see that encouraged. But as long as, you know, it remains constructive, then fine. You know, I can't say that there certainly has been some light shined on the whole thing recently. I know, I think I heard that the New York State Attorney General was starting to look at it. And that could be the early signs of, like, what possibly happened to online poker. And honestly, is it that much different from online poker? Not really, you know. So, but, no, I understand your sentiment on it, though.
No, I mean, it's really, I'm a libertarian, as with you, and people know we're libertarians, okay? If they've listened to us for years, and Kenny is about to come on, he probably knows we're libertarian, too. And maybe Kenny's a Republican. Maybe Kenny's a Democrat. I could care less. He's an awesome fantasy football player and a loyal listener, and he should have loyal stamps on his arm as well. Let me dip it. I'll wrap it up on this. I don't have a problem with DFS. People want to go out and gamble and play basically the DFS lottery, because it's more like a lottery. I mean, you put your team in there, and you hope that everything, all the integrity is in place for DraftKings and FanDuel, because, man, oh, man, it's tough to win a league. You know, they'll say, here, enter the million-dollar league. Well, you mean, first of all, you're not winning $1 million. You win a share of $1 million. And you have to beat basically 77,000 people to do it. So it's a lottery. And, you know, but they want to call it that. But what I'm mad about is the experts who have turned their back on traditional fantasy sports, what made it so much fun to play, grinding it out for 13 weeks, 14 weeks, and then playing the playoffs for 2 or 3 weeks and grinding that out and then becoming a champ, just like real football. Hey, my Dallas Cowboys might be 2-3 now, but they can finish season 11-5 and win. or they can be like the New York Giants of a few years ago when they finished 9-7, squeaked into the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. That's the fantasy sports that I love and adorn. Not the, hey, I don't know if Julio Jones is worth $8,500 this week, or maybe we should start Kamir Aiken. Who the heck wants to start Kamir? I have Kamir Aiken on two teams, don't get me wrong. But he is like a fifth-level receiver for me, and I will only start him if two of my players got broken legs and the other three are on a bye, okay? That, I mean, but it's like, hey, oh, my God, now that's who we're starting. You know, hey, I mean, people who beat me started Travis Benjamin in week two, okay? Wow, okay, that's not the fantasy football I want to play. I want to play the players that I want to start, the players that people will actually advise you to play, and not play this dollar amount sellout game. So basically, all you guys who sit there and play the DS Sports, look into your soul. You're sellouts. You're not doing what you did for years before, assuming you've been doing this for years. You're doing it because you're getting paid. Because FanDuel is sitting here sponsoring your show and saying, talk about our stuff, or we'll find somebody who will. And you're no better than a lobbyist in Washington lobbying for a company that's trying to make as much money as possible before it gets shut down and gets closed out. And in fact, RC, I told you, I got interviewed for a DFS company, which I turned down the job. Well, they wanted me to make them their operations manager. That's what they wanted me for. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing that because I don't want to sit here and be working one day and have the FBI raid me, okay? That's what I don't want to deal with. And maybe it'll never happen. But I'm happy working for Ford Motor Company, making a lot more money than Jeff Mann makes, and also still enjoying my podcast. So, Jeff, I am an expert. I'm an expert at life. Okay, you need to learn about that. Let's bring Kenny into the show, RC, unless you want to tie a bow around it.
One more point, and this is the thing that can get DFS in trouble, and this is the thing that we were talking about today. Where, you know, to the point where, yeah, their advertising is obviously very aggressive and there's a lot of money behind it. But there was one example in their advertising, which is the kind of thing that's going to start getting them more scrutiny. And that's like that example of that dorky guy who said, you know, I deposited $35 in my account and now I won $2 million. When you start making claims like that in your advertising, then it becomes like blue sky hyperbole misrepresentation. That's basically what that can be construed as. That would be the beginning of these things, you know, getting you into trouble. I mean, because, you know, an example like that, you probably have as good a chance of like selling $500,000 worth of your old baseball cards to Anne Hathaway at a flea market. You know, why don't you just give that as an example of things that could realistically happen, you know? So that's the kind of thing that could get them into trouble.
All right, fair. And you're absolutely right. And I can't wait to see how this turns out. But it's just, you know, in my heart of hearts, it was something I just didn't want to get involved in. And I'm going to leave it at that because that's the way it goes. All right, let's go ahead and just bring on in Kenny. He's probably pretty upset right now. He's probably cooking hot. How are you doing, Kenny?
Oh, hey. Hey, Todd, how are you?
All right, really quickly, Kenny, Republican or Democrat or Libertarian?
really, neither, you know.
Oh, great choice. Great choice.
Yeah, really.
That's a choice, ever. That's why me and RC, we just enjoy ourselves.
I'm not a component of DFS either. I just like year-long fantasy. I don't subscribe to DraftKings or FanDuel either.
You haven't won $750,000 on FanDuel like everyone else has?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Hey, Kenny, they pay out $75 million a week, Kenny. Somebody's winning something, right? Or is somebody losing something? Because, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
All right, what you got
today? I don't deal in that. Okay, so first off, your Broncos pick was right on. They scored 18 points more than Buffalo Bills.
Because actually, I was so I owe you a dollar. I lost that bet. I didn't realize it was that wide a margin because I know the Bills' defense was pretty good. The thing that definitely set the Broncos apart, what they had a score, right?
Yeah, they had a pick six. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Well, you're welcome, Kenny. I'm bowing to you. I'm giving you a little curtsy. You're welcome.
Oh yeah, I appreciate it. Okay, all right. So I was a Charles owner, and pretty upset because I lost Charles. So this week, I only have one roster space. So would you use it on? I'm not a Lynch owner, by the way. Would you use it on Rawls or would you use it on Christian Michael?
Let me go ahead with this one first, RC. Obviously Rawls has got the potential, but Lynch is definitely, going to come back. So Rawls is going to be a temporary solution to a bigger problem. Christine Michaels, obviously, is going to be – could very well be anointed the starter in Dallas. I think Dallas needs to make some severe – changes. They want that hardcore running back again. They want the guy who can go out there. They're obviously, whatever they've been doing the first five games really hasn't worked, except for the one explosion that that Joseph Randle had, which he didn't even break 100 yards that game, but got three touchdowns against Atlanta. It was about the only true success they've really had. They want the DeMarco Murray running back back, and the only running back they have on their roster that can really effectively do that would be a Christine Michaels, he's a smaller guy, but he can hit the middle of that. Of that line and burst through it, and he can give them what they want, and that's why they traded for him, even knowing they had all these guys, including Dunbar. So my take is obviously you have to make sure they do anoint him the starter. I think no matter what, he'll still share carries with Joseph Randle, and you'll still see a spattering of Darren McFadden. But the Cowboys need to make a serious change if they want to maintain and be a playoff team when Tony Romo comes back. They're starting Castle. And I would go and I would take a chance on Christine Michael, who, by the way, a certain somebody said, I don't know why anybody's taking this guy seriously. They feel a little burned on that. And it was one of the guys I mentioned previously in this, his initials are JM. RC, do you agree with me or do you like Rawls more?
Well, it really depends, Kenny, I think what your objective is. Rawls, in the short term actually looks pretty good. Because, even with a healthy Lynch, it kind of seems like they're going to mix him in. But like Todd is saying, and we both agree, and we were talking about season when the Cowboys first signed Christian Michael, he's been a guy that's immensely talented, and he really teases you with his ability, but he really didn't conform to the scheme over in Seattle. And, you kind of wonder what a guy like that and really the just that massive offensive line that's so much talented right now than Seattle's where, they can deal with the mistakes and he actually, turns out to be a monster player. I would consider him far more talented than McFadden, at this point. And even Randle, although Randle's been pretty competent, so I have a hard time believing that he's going to completely disappear. But if your objective is like winning this week, then Rawls is your guy. If you're trying, if you've got an extra bench spot and you've got like a strong record and you're looking ahead for an advantage later in the year, then I think Michael's your guy.
And what is your objective, Kennedy? Kenny?
The latter, yeah. I'm 5-0. Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to make a bad move, to risk your whole season. I mean, like I picked up just really quickly, Kenny. I picked up Ahmad Bradshaw last week, and not even last week or the week before. I picked him up in several leagues, and because there was rumor he was going to sign with the Indianapolis Colts, and they didn't. He didn't sign with them. I held on to him, and today he signed with the Indianapolis Colts. And if he can be anything like he was last year, he is going to be a filthy, nice little number 3-4 running back on my squad. So, like I've always preached, patience is a virtue, my man.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. I'll drop Rawls and pick up Michael. You guys were spot on with Duke Johnson over Hillman last week. The other thing is, okay, would you start Duke Johnson or Shane Vereen this week?
Oh, RC, you go ahead and answer this one first, RC, but I know who I'm starting if I had those choice. Go ahead.
Shane Vereen just is so inconsistent, but he looked great last week. And this week the Giants are playing – who are the Giants
the
playing? They're playing the Falcons.
I'm sorry, not the Falcons. Not the Falcons. It's the Saints. I'm sorry.
Okay, the Philadelphia Falcons. New team expansion this year? So at Philadelphia on Monday night. And then Duke Johnson is playing
the Broncos.
Yeah, you want to stay away from that. I think it's Vereen because the Giants of Philadelphia, that especially with Philadelphia finally, you know, clicking on their offense, that looks like a game where a lot of balls are going to be flying around. I would definitely go with Vereen.
You know what, RC, that sounded a little strange. So let me you know, not lose Kennedy here. We start talking about balls flying around. there's more
yeah, why does everything have to go? Why does everything have to go straight into the gutter?
I know. This is a PG show, okay? But Kenny, you're about 18, right?
A frenzy
right,
of offensive
Kenny?
Activity. Is that what you want to hear? You get offended when I use fancy words like frenzy of offensive activity as well. So either way, I can't win.
Oh my God, there's more jokes there, but I'm going to let them go. Kenny, here's what I'm going to say. You're throwing me off. I swear to God, he's JFK now. I keep calling him Kenny. It's Kenny. By the way, Kenny, do you call on the Sirius Radio as TJ? Do you do that?
No, sir.
Okay, wow. I heard somebody on Sirius Radio, his name was TJ, and he sounded exactly like him. I'm like, oh, my God, is that Kenny? All right, Kenny, I agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I heard when you said that at the beginning of the show, but it wasn't me. This is the only show I call on to.
God bless you. And God bless
your
entire
honored.
Family. Wait, but let me, because I love the RC, the answer RC gave, and I just want to extend on it a little bit. I mean, the Giants are a mess right now offensively. I mean, they're a mess because Odell Beckham is not sure if he's going to play. You know, obviously, I mean, they're so desperate that they're bringing in receiver after receiver. I forgot the name of one of the guys they brought in, Perkins or something like that. I barely remember who that guy even is. So they're really desperate at the receiver spot. Randall's not really 100% healthy. Beckham may not play. Dwayne Harris is actually with a big pickup this week because of them. So really, when it goes down to it, the two best starts, especially against an Eagle team, who's more than capable of giving up, you know, points to receivers, tight ends, and running backs, are they're going to be Vereen and of course, Donald. And the reason is because you know they're going to be doing a lot of blitzing. You know they're going to come hot and heavy at Manning, and he's just going to dump it off to Vereen. I think Vereen is going to be an absolutely fantastic start. And if Beckham doesn't play on Monday night, and remember, this is a rival game. This is going to be a hard-fought game between two teams who really don't like each other. And this is a game where people can shine. Vereen is going to be that. The other game, you're looking at, you know, the Browns going to Denver to play the Broncos. And that game just has disaster. I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, it's in Cleveland.
Oh, I'm sorry, in Cleveland. That's fantastic. That's going to change it completely. No, my mistake. They're going to be in Cleveland. But that game could have, with that Bronco offense, who's one of my favorite, I own him in a bunch of leagues, and I'm going to start him across the board, you know, even with McNown starting. And that game, you know, you're going to see Duke Johnson get his catches. He will certainly put up points for you. But in the end, Vereen has a far superior chance of getting into the end zone and possibly even multiple times.
Okay. All right. I'll go with Vereen. Then I'll pick up Michael next week because I only have one roster spot. So I had to pick up Vereen, and then I had to pick up Michael next week.
Pencil.
The last one is I was offered a trade offer. Remember, I lost Jamal Charles last week. I was offered Gronkowski for Arian Foster straight up. What do you think about that?
No way.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to keep. Yeah. You got the most. You got a dominating, filthy dominating tight end who plays better than most wide receivers. You got to hold on to that.
Okay.
You just got to remember this when it comes to these tight ends, and of course that was, you know, my trench warfare that I used to preach, which was again stolen by somebody. But the trench warfare was the kicker, the defense, and the tight end. And when somebody goes and they look at your roster, you know, and they don't have a good tight end at all, and you have Gronkowski. They go, wow, man. I mean, it's like he already has a 15-point spot on me, and it's 8-on-8. And maybe a 20-point spot. Who knows what it could be. And that's a huge advantage, and that's one of the reasons why you're 5-0.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And last question, what are your thoughts on Buck Allen?
RC?
Taliaferro is out. Buck Allen is, you know, now officially the number two over there. I think he's more talented than Taliaferro. I don't know if he was ahead of him. But Kenny, like, your rosters must be pretty large where you can, like, stash these guys away. I mean, if you're looking for, like, a stash, you know, just kind of wait and see, then he's definitely a decent guy to do that with. But, you know, you really can't expect too much, I think, in the short term. He really does seem to possibly make a better short, you know, maybe goal line back. So, I mean, it could be that, you know, they have plans to use him in that way. But definitely worth a stash because, you know, he's now the clear number two over there.
Yeah, definitely worth a stash. But, I mean, that's a crazy a team, you know, as far as, like, are they pass one day, run the next day? You know, Joe Flacco's going crazy. He's not. I mean, he does get involved in the passing game. But, I mean, I think if you're talking about, you know, stashing him over, like, some of the other guys we talked about, I think you're better off with, you know, Christian Michael. You know, I can't stand calling him Christine. I just can't imagine. I swear to God, his mom thought he was going to be a girl, and he came out as a boy. And she's like, I'm still named Christine. That's the way it is. I mean, I can't imagine why. But, you know, Christian Michael, you have a better opportunity with him because obviously when Forsett is healthy, you know, Allen's going to simply remain a backup.
Okay. All right. So go with Vereen. I only have one roster spot, so I'll have to drop Rawls and pick up Vereen for this week over Duke Johnson. And then next week I'll pick up Christian Michael and drop Vereen.
God, I wish I had the options he had in any of my leagues, RC. I would be filthy.
Yeah, I know, really.
That is an awesome. Yeah, that's what I would do for this week. That's your best move this week, Kenny.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you, man.
I'll be watching all those guys.
So you would definitely start Sam Bradford over Matt Ryan?
Oh, wow.
Oh, you didn't ask us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I've had to start Sam Bradford. I picked him up as my backup against everybody's better wishes in the industry to Andrew Luck, and he's been absolutely phenomenal for me for the last 2 weeks. He's going against a piss-poor Giants defense, and I believe that's in Philadelphia. Am I wrong about that, RC?
Yes, that's
what you see. Yeah, it is. Okay. I'm going to give an edge to Ryan because it looks like Julio's definitely going to play. I think that would be the key thing for me. But, you know, Todd, you know, this could be our bet of the week, I guess, Ryan versus Bradford.
Dude, you need to put some brakes on. You are in horrible shape right now. Time out. I was just talking about Bradford. I never said, well, listen, if Julio Jones plays, you got to go with Matt Ryan. He's playing against the rival Saints, who those teams, again, don't like each other. So if the Atlanta Falcons were actually going to purposely port on a team, it would be them. Now, it's a Thursday game, so there's a possibility that's lingering out there, the thought that Julio Jones might not play. And everything looks like he will play, and I would be willing to bet, you know, one of my children's lives that he would play. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. For the love of God, if he doesn't play, I'm in trouble. But I'll tell you this right now, Kenny. If Julio Jones doesn't play, I would go with Bradford because – that team can run all day on the Saints, and they have the running back to do it. They hopefully will have Tevon Coleman back. They have Devontae Freeman mopping things up. Ward's back there dominating. They don't need Julio Jones to beat the Saints. So, but if Julio Jones is playing, go with Ryan. It's also another problem, RC, is that offenses don't gel very well on Thursday. Does that affect your ratings at all because of the short week?
Yeah, you know, that is a good point. That is true. I mean, we definitely have seen that where, you know, teams, even with momentum, will go into Thursday night and it just turns into a snooze fest. Good point, but I personally would still go with Ryan.
Yeah, it's kind of a win-win for you, Kenny. It's really a win-win.
Okay, yeah. Julio is probable, but, you know, he hasn't practiced. He didn't do so well last week, so I was just wondering.
Yeah, it's a touch and go thing.
Without the fumble recovery, he would only have 4 points.
He said that. You know, take this for what it's worth, but you know, he had he has that lingering, you know, hamstring thing. But he said bit has progressed well, and there was no setbacks after last week. So you would think that if he is indeed getting better, then he should be close to full strength at this point.
I'll put it this way, Kenny. This is how I would decide this. This is how I'm going to decide it, every, you know, like this week where I have Andrew Luck, and, you know, he's going to play, coming off of injury, so he's probably not 100%, but good enough to play. And he's going against the Patriots in Indianapolis, okay? Then I have Sam Bradford on Monday Night Football, the show-me state of games, going against a rival Giants team who he can't throw on. And I sit here, and what I'm going to decide, and I have not decided yet because there's no pressure on me to do so, is I have to look at my matchup. And the matchup that I'm playing in that league is one where I need ferocity. I need maximum points out of all my players to pull it out. Well, then, you know, I may very well go with Sam Bradford and just say, listen, I'll wait till Monday night. I'll let everybody else play. And then hopefully I don't know what my opponent's roster is right now. I haven't looked at it yet. But hopefully he'll have nobody in the Giants in Philadelphia. And, you know, whatever the score is, I'll know I'll need Bradford either win or to pile it on like I did to RC this week. It just depends. And we'll get into that, RC. We'll get into the Block Talk League right after this. But, you know, the bottom line is if I don't need a lot of points and I feel like I can remain a little bit conservative, you know, then I may just go with my stud Andrew Luck and hopefully hope that he can put on an aerial show and come back from this horrible start of the season against Tom Brady. So we'll see. You know, that's how you have to kind of decide that. If you don't need the points, I would go with Matt Ryan. If you think you're going to need to maximize your points, I would wait till Monday and hopefully Sam Bradford will pull out enough points to give you the win.
Okay. All right. That sounds fair.
All right.
Of course. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys. That's all the questions I have for tonight.
All right. No problem.
Thank you, man.
And I'll be rooting for the Broncos and for Shane Vereen and company this week, hoping that we don't lead you astray.
Oh, definitely. Yo, you guys always, last week you were great for Ronnie Hillman didn't do anything.
All right. Thank you, Kenny.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right. One of my personal favorites, of course, as always, RC. So let's get to the show now. Well, really quickly, you want to talk about the Block Talk Radio 2 League. Now, if you're not
I'd rather talk about the league I beat you in. But that's not as interesting, and I don't think it as useful for discussion. But I did go 1-1 against you this week, although that was a much closer margin of victory. Where this game, this is the worst I think you've ever trounced me. You almost doubled my score. It was 191 to 87, and I really put on a clinic in starting the wrong guys this week. And you know, so trying to figure out where I went wrong here. You know, one key thing, Ameer Abdullah, who has been an absolute catastrophe. You know, I started him versus Arizona, and, you know, perhaps that was a big mistake. Now, on my bench, I had DeMarco Murray. I did not start him. That would have given me about 24 points. I had Shane Vereen on my bench. I started Moncrief over him. And that turned out to be a mistake because he only had 1 point. Although I think I can forgive myself for that mistake and not starting Vereen because Moncrief really seemed – although I should have – when as soon as we knew that Hasselbeck was definitely starting, that's when perhaps I should have switched it. So that would have been and then the other mistake I made was, you know what, if I would have set the right lineup, I think I might have actually won. Because I had Andy Dalton on my bench, and I started. This was really stupid. Now, tell me how stupid I am about this one, and I will not get offended. Not that I ever do. But so I started Stafford over Dalton, but they both had tough matchups. I mean, Dalton was playing Seattle, but I mean, tell me why that was stupid.
It was stupid because Matthew Stafford is in a massive funk. And that Matthew Stafford is playing a horrific matchup against Arizona. Granted, it was in Detroit. I'll tell you how bad it was, RC, and I'm not going to lie to you about this. In my Riders League that I'm in with the Fantasy Sports, the Evan Silva Riders League that I'm in, I own Andrew Luck, who I got absolutely, lit into for drafting him in the second round of that league. That's obviously history. And so far, I look stupid because he sucked. But I also drafted Matthew Stafford as my backup in like the 10th round. I'm like, God, he's sitting out there. I'll take him. Well, I actually picked up Alex Smith. That's how much confidence I had in either of those guys, obviously, one not playing at all. And I went with Alex Smith, and I actually won that league cha-ching by 1.5 points over Cobra Kai. I think I forgot who he is, actually. I apologize. But he's another one of the, you know, writers, fantasy sports writers. But I won by like 1.5, and it was obviously if I would have started Matthew Stafford, I would have probably lost by about 6 or 7 points. So, yeah, that was a pretty bad decision with the Stafford.
And by the way, I just added up my optimal lineup, and even if I would have started all the right guys, I still would have lost to you by about 22 points or so. That's how great a week you had, 191 points. And I think, you know, for this scoring format, that might be the highest that we've ever seen in this scoring format, 191? Or has there been higher than that?
I don't know. I mean, this one's pretty high. This one doesn't have the quarterback bonus like our home league has. I mean, obviously, I had the Denver Bronco defense you had to deal with. And then and I started Willie Snead and Josh Brown and, A.J. Green. You know, and, of course, I had Phillip Rivers as my quarterback. And the big one was Doug Martin. You know, I mean, like, listen, you know, there was a lot of talk in the preseason about Amir Abdullah, okay? And I was not on that bandwagon. I was on the Joyke Bell bandwagon. Neither of them looked good. Now it's all about Theo Riddick and the other guy, Zan or Dan or whatever his name is, you know, that's now going to be coming into play here. Amir Abdullah is a rookie, you know, and you're going to have your good games and your bad games. I mean, we're still waiting for Melvin Gordon to really become the powerhouse guy we thought he was going to become. So right now, as far as I'm concerned, I would give the rookie running back this year an F. And I understand Todd Gurley is doing good, for two games. I don't even know if he's found the end zone yet, but I know he's piled on yards. But still, it's an F. I mean, across the board, Tevon Coleman's obviously has been hurt and ineffective. There just really hasn't been a lot of love coming out of these rookie running backs. But that's to be expected. You know, rookie running backs sometimes do good. A lot of times rookies take time to grow. That's why I tell people if you own like a Melvin Gordon or if you own, you know, even Tevon Coleman, because you never know what will happen with Freeman and Gurley and company and the rest of these guys and Amir Abdullah. You got to stay loyal to them. You draft them for a reason. Hold on to them because the second half of the season is completely different than the first half. It's like in baseball. Second half is much more intense than the first half. First half, you're learning. Second half, you're dominating. And I can only hope, I'm not going to be like a guy on Sirius Radio and say, I know this. Well, I don't. I'm not Nostradamus and I can't predict the future, but I have a lot of confidence that some of these rookies are going to have far superior second halves, RC, than the first halves of their season. So you just got to be patient.
Yeah, and you know, even to this point, though, because, you know, this rookie draft class was actually really, really strong. And, you know, yeah, like you said, Todd Gurley, you know, he's looked tremendous, but he just returned, you know, recently. Gordon, you know, is suffering from the fact that he's platooning with Woodhead and the fact that, you know, they've had some offensive line problems, but it definitely looks like, you know, he should get going. Coleman won the starting job over, you know, fantasy superstar Devontae Freeman out of the gate. So he obviously was doing well until he got derailed a bit. Duke Johnson has been pretty solid for the role that he's been in. Amir Abdullah, and this isn't really I don't like him, but that offense has been, and I really think this is, you know, like a more of a deeper rooted kind of coaching thing where that team basically has, you know, just folded onto itself. It's just there's nothing going right for them. You know, the offensive line is just horrible. Stafford really is one of the most, you know, potentially talented quarterbacks in the league. He's got a superstar receiver. He's got a very, very solid number two. He's got an emerging tight end. Abdullah should be used in a different way. He should, you know, he's a very dynamic player. What in the world is wrong with that team? And you have to trace it right back to the coaching. I mean, Caldwell should be fired. I mean, I don't think there's any other way, you know, around that. David Johnson has been basically a thorn in my side for one thing, because the leagues I have him in, I have started him once, and that was the week that he did nothing. And then every other week I don't start him. Every time he touches the ball, he's TJ Yeldon, you know, a young team, you know, he's just really getting started. And then when Matt Jones has been good, you know, so this rookie running back class, you know, to me has actually been pretty good.
It's been all right, but I mean, like Yeldon, I don't think he's even found the end zone yet. And I love Yeldon. I got him on multiple teams. I mean, I'm just saying there hasn't been a guy who's really. I mean, Duke Johnson's been all right, but, you know, he's still, I think, what has he got, maybe one touchdown on the year? There's, you know, we're now going into week six, and I think if you took the entire rookie class, you would have just a handful of touchdowns. I know Abdullah has, like, I think a pair of touchdowns. I don't have stats in front of me. I'm not lucky that way. But, I mean, I believe out of most of those rookies, there hasn't been a lot of scoring. That's what it really comes down to is, you know, 100-yard-plus games and scoring. So out of a lot of those guys you mentioned, yeah, I know Johnson's got a touchdown. Duke Johnson's got a couple of touchdowns or one touch. I think he has one touchdown. And I know Abdul's got a couple of touchdowns. But really, when you put them all together and you don't even have 10 touchdowns on your hands after 5 weeks, you can say that they've been a little disappointing. But I'm just saying I'm giving them an F right now.
Wait. But, you know, this has just been a very – and this really, you know, I think confirms your philosophy about, you know, going higher with receivers. Because when you look at this running back, basically the way that, you know, coming into the season, running backs were valued, Eddie Lacy has been very much fluctuating all over the place. Jamal Charles was great until he got hurt. C.J. Anderson was going very, very high. He's been a complete washout. DeMarco Murray up until last week was useless. LeSean McCoy has been hurt all year. Lynch has been horrible. Jeremy Hill, one of the guys that were, you know, really highly touted and the expectations were sky high, he's been awful. Matt Forte has been his own solid self. Hyde has been hit or miss. Alfred Morris has been hit or miss. Bernard has been coming on lately, but, you know, before that, you know, he basically was horrible. Forsett, same thing, coming on lately. Stewart was very highly valued, and he's been terrible. Lamar Miller's been just awful. So, I mean, it's really the whole, you know, you can pick, like, anyone from the list of running backs going into the season. And of course, you know, the top guys like Chris Ivory and Devontae Freeman, you know, were drafted, you know, like six to ten rounds after those guys, you know.
No, hey, you know what? Listen, again, I'm not an expert. I was just not told that today. I'm not in the industry. I was just told that today. But the guys that I drafted in my league, you know, the guys that I propelled in the preseason are the Devontae Freeman. The Maverick, this league, I put up 191 points on you with. I mean, I have Doug Martin and TJ Yeldon. And I even put in Charlie Thompson as my, you know, running back wide receiver for this week. And I think on my bench in that league, I don't have any other running backs. Those are the three running backs that I have in this league. And so I'm a little thin at running back, but that's what I have. And, you know, I win with it. And in my home league where I just didn't draft any high running backs except for where I had to. Like I did like Le'Veon Bell when I had the number 2 pick overall. But in that league, I'm winning it now that I got him. But in the, you know, as far as the rest of the league, I mean, I got in that one home league, I got Devontae Freeman, Duke Johnson, C.J. Spiller, and Melvin Gordon, the highest guy drafted in that league. And, you know, I have really one of the best running attacks ever. I'm going to give a shout-out to Jason, good old primetime. He beat me this week 178 to 174 in that league where I benched, obviously, Andrew Luck, you know, and put Sam Bradford in for him. And I made the awful decision, RC, of putting in Pierre Garçon versus T.Y. Hilton because I just didn't think that there'd be a lot, you know. And I'm afraid I got persuaded by other people in the fantasy industry who are saying, don't start anybody in the Colts. Well, I would have started Hilton. I think I would have beat him by percentage points because I think Hilton outscored Pierre Garçon by, I think, about 4 points. Yeah, Garçon by about 4 points. And 4-plus points, and I think that would have given me enough points to pass him. But that's the mistakes you make. I blink in a stare-down with one of the best competitors we know, who also, by the way, probably wouldn't be considered an expert, but he's a guy that even though I own him in football, he damn well is a tough matchup every single – he's going to be mad at me for saying that, RC. He owns me in baseball, though. He cleans up in baseball. But he's an absolutely dominating, filthy player. And I love playing against the best of the best. I don't like playing chumps. I like playing champs, and that's who I play in all the leagues I'm in, including our listener leagues. And I got walloped. Hey, I made a mistake. I blinked. I looked at him. I said, I got to take a chance. He's got a great team. And I failed. And that was that league I failed in. And you also, you did beat me, RC. And you know, listen, we're in every league we're in together. Every single league I'm in, you're in the league. I'm going to play you all year. I think so far I've played you 6 times this year. I think we're actually 3-3. Because you beat me 2 out of 3 one week, and 1-1 this week, and then last week I beat you once. I think we're 3-3 against each other. And that just shows you just how there's no domination on anyone's side. I could care less that I beat you 181-87. It would be the exact same victory if I beat you 191-190. You know, it doesn't make a difference to me. A win is a win. But you had a bad luck week. You made some piss-poor decisions, and I hope I'm rubbing that in a little bit. Piss-poor. Awful.
You know, but like I said, though, even with my optimal lineup, I would have still lost by over 20 points, which is really sad. But, yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, those weeks are going to happen where, you know, you'll be like the second highest scoring team and you play the first highest scoring team. And every other team in the league you would have beaten, you know, that's just how it is.
Well, that's why I can't wait for Yahoo to go to the system that I think is the best system for fantasy sports. And that's every week you have 2 matchups. You have, and say you're in a 12-team league, you get your win for your head-to-head matchup, and then you get a win if you finish in the top 6. And so, you know, in this league, in the home league, if we had that set up, I would have gone 1-1. And, you know, and it wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world. But until, you know, these gaming systems like ESPN, I know that CBS can do that. But until the others, gaming platforms get into, advanced to that kind of a system, we'll have to play with this one. But as soon as we can do that, I will switch over every league that I commission into the two win weekly matchups, because that, you know, then gives a little bit of credence to say, hey, you know what, I don't always have to beat the guy I'm playing. I just got to finish in the top half, and I get credit for another victory. And you should get that. I mean, you know, I should have gotten a win this week. For basically having I think I had the 3rd highest score in the league. You know, neither me or Jason had the top score. But, you know, that's the way the ball bounced. I do want to, you know, tell you this. I mean, this is how I lost him, by the way. He started Josh Brown against me, who, again, you know, folks on Sirius Radio think that Josh Brown is a joke. And granted, he hasn't had the greatest season in the world, but he's a fantastic wide receiver, and I think he's going to be one that we're going to be talking about for years to come as he grows into an outstanding fantasy wide receiver, but he put up a touchdown. If he didn't catch that touchdown, I'd beat Jason. And then, of course, I had, you know, he had Antonio Gates, who made his, look at I'm back and I'm a badass, you know, game he had on Monday night. And that second touchdown he caught, you know, put me into the ground there. So, and if you want to know how tight that game was, I had Lambeau and Melvin Gordon in that game. Do you understand? He had Antonio Gates, and this is how much fun this game was. We were texting each other back and forth, talking smack. And in that game, I'm sitting here going, just kick the field goal. Just kick the field goal, you know, at the end for the Steelers. Because it goes to overtime. That means possibly I can kick a game-winning field goal. Melvin Gordon can put on some points. So can Antonio Gates. But at least I have a chance. And they went for the touchdown. But do you know what that touchdown did for me? This is the life of fantasy sports. My Le'Veon Bell league, where I was playing good old Hattie, our best buddy Hattie, I beat him by a point, RC, because of that touchdown. So you win some, you lose some. That's how it goes. All right, I want to get to some news. Let's get to some news.
Oh,
some
by the way, you know what league we got to do next year? I love this format. I don't know how you feel about it, but you know the format where you basically draft like a really large roster, and then you don't touch it for the entire year, and it works on the basis of really your optimal lineup across all the original players that drafted each week. So there's no pickups, you know, so if your team is ravaged by injury, you know, tough luck. But it works like every given week, you know, if you've got like 5 running backs, the top 2 that score the highest are the ones that actually count. You ever play that format?
No, I haven't. I mean, I really don't make a lot of pickups to begin with. I mean, I do and I don't. Because, you know, it's just I normally draft very good teams. So that's a league I would have a lot of fun in.
With that, yeah, So we definitely have to do that next year. Maybe we'll make the we'll revive the defunct Blog Talk 3 and make it that.
We can do that. We can do that.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about this Kansas City Chiefs situation, RC. So, you know, Kenny alluded to it. They lost Jamaal Charles. Clearly, this is a huge loss for anybody involved in the world of fantasy sports. And so now everybody's putting their two cents in because you basically have West out there. How do you say his first name? How do you say that name?
I'm gonna mush it, but Shishardnik.
Yeah, Shishardnik. Let's call him West.
We'll get it by week 14. But we gotta hope that he stays relevant for that long. And with him, it may not be that he's relevant at that point. So you
gotta
be careful.
Yeah, here's the deal on him, because I want your take on him right now. But here's the problem: is right now you got a lot of people out there confusing the situation. C West, they should really, the NFL should force them to change their names to simple names. Like, let's just
all right, this is how it's pronounced. Shikandrick. The weirdest name I've ever seen. Yeah, Shikandrick.
It's a weirdo. It's definitely a weirdy name. So with Shikandrick, a lot of people say, hey, he's going to be the guy, because Andy Reid basically says he's the better up-and-down runner. He's more like a mimic of Jamaal Charles. And I agree with Andy on that one. I mean, the little sampling I've had of him, I guess you could say he's somewhat like him. I mean, I haven't seen nothing to say that. But Niles Davis, man, when he's been in there, he's been filthy. Not this year necessarily, but in the years past, he's been absolutely filthy. Matter of fact, he put up great fantasy points as a backup to Jamaal Charles last year. So
yeah,
who would you go with? Who are you going to take a chance on in your waivers, especially if your waivers goes off tonight? Who do you take a chance on?
Honestly, I mean, in the one league where I really need a running back, I was looking for Davis, and he was already on a team. And that would be the guy that I would want. I think I think people are going to, like, in certainly like the blind bidding systems, people are going to really pay a very high price for Shikandrick West, and he's very much a risk. And I understand, he's not anything like Jamaal Charles. There are really no running backs right now in the league like Jamaal Charles. To me, he doesn't really even come close. He does have, I think he has a chance to be pretty good. He's pretty small. He's not, of course, as quick as Charles and as explosive. But then again, who really is? But he does have, good tenacity for a smaller back. He's got some decent nimbleness to him. But I agree with you. Where right now, the reason why we haven't heard much from Niall Davis, I think he's been slowed by that ankle injury. And as soon as he fully recuperates from that, I can see him really being the main guy over here. So I would definitely go with Davis.
So would you, let me ask you this question. Here's a great question that people are going to ask. I'm going to throw three names at you, and I want you to tell me who you would put on your waivers list first, because you're going to basically have a lot of choices this week. But I'm just going to bring up three. The first one is Theo Riddick in Detroit. Okay, obviously, Amir Abdullah has a lot of fumbling problems. They're really upset. I mean, Theo Riddick, when he comes in, I mean, he makes a difference in the game. He might not be the prototypical fantasy running back, but he makes a difference. And then, of course, Joyke Bell might come back this week, but he's still injured, and he's nursing that Achilles injury now, they're calling it. So there's your first one, Theo Riddick. The next one is, of course, Shikandrick. That's the best I could do, RC. West.
No, that was
you
it.
Got him. Oh, I did. Wow, I got it. Oh, my God. Where's my award? I get a little first place ribbon? Okay, and the third one would be Ahmad Bradshaw, who just now signed for the Indianapolis Colts. He knows the system. They're going to be healthy. He's 100% healthy. Obviously, he's no longer suspended. He had the one-game suspension that's now obviously evaporated because we're in week 5. And you know instantly he's going to hopefully give a major upgrade to this offense that needs a threat out of the backfield who can catch and run. And obviously that devalues Frank Gore. But if you saw what he did last year, he was good, and he's put up a good 12 to 15 points every week for your flex position spot. So if you had to pick one of those guys, I'll tell you my order after you tell me yours. I already have it in written down. Who would you take?
Well, is so Davis isn't an option? He's already taken.
I guess you could say West slash Davis. Yes, if you want to say West slash, if I four, put Davis in there.
Well, last time I checked, they're two different guys. I mean, you got to treat them as two. So I know
well,
that
you just said you would take West over Davis. So that's why I left it at that.
No, I did not say that. Were you even listening? What I said was, I think that at the point where Davis's ankle heals, he's going to be the top guy in Kansas City, is what I said. So I would take Davis ahead of any of those guys. I think, you know, as the second guy, I think you have to put West there. So say there's hypothetically four guys. My guys would be Davis, West. With Bradshaw, I agree with you. That, and by the way, you called that 2 weeks ago, so you were very ahead of that. But I think I would put Bradshaw number three. And I also like Riddick, but the thing with Riddick, at this point, there's nothing to like about that offense. You still have Bell coming back whenever he's ready. You still have Abdullah there. There's just too many potential ways to siphon off the ball into the black hole that we now know as the Detroit Lions. So I would rank it Davis, West, Bradshaw, and then Riddick.
I agree with you. The only problem that I have with Davis is that, I mean, Davis is such a dynamic player. I really like him. I think he would be like a very good running back on another team. Like, say, put him on the Cowboys, and Davis would obviously shine. The problem is Niles Davis is actually owned in quite a few leagues. So that was probably the reason why I didn't throw him in there, is just the chances of getting him are you know, and I'm noticing right now, I'm looking at all my leagues, in every single league except for one so far that I've looked at of five, he's not available in. So that's probably why I didn't include him in the list, because he's just, you know, smart people have jumped on what his value is. But I do agree with the order. I disagreed a little bit. I would put Bradshaw first, and here's why. You're right. You're absolutely right about Theo Riddick. That is a mess. And he might be able to put a point, but you're going to be, you know, keeping your fingers crossed for him. West, you're absolutely right again. West is probably not going to be the starter, and even if he is, he's going to definitely share carries. Niles Davis, if he's available, which should be the number one guy you pick. Number two, Ahmad Bradshaw. I just think the Indianapolis Colts know they need to get their offense fixed. They just have won three in a row, barely won all three of the games, and won them against their crappy division. And now they got to take on the New England Patriots, and most likely they're going to be 3-3 after this game. They need to pump some life into that offense. They need to give a reason for teams to stop putting everybody on those wide receivers and come in on that running game, and having that pass-catching threat out of that backfield now, who is just, you know, I mean, I just thought that Ahmad Bradshaw brought so much to that offense last year. He also made Andrew Luck a better quarterback because he was getting those nice 15-yard little dump pass completions and, of course, touchdowns. And he's also a great goal line back. I mean, I'm telling you right now, you're going to see Ahmad Bradshaw at the goal line, not Frank Gore. Maybe on every play, but I promise you, you will. So, I think Ahmad Bradshaw, if you can't get Davis, Ahmad Bradshaw is your guy to get. And if I haven't tweeted that yet, I will tweet it.
You're saying that you put Bradshaw ahead of Davis and West, though?
No. I put Davis number one, Bradshaw number two, West number three, Riddick number four.
Okay. Yeah, I potentially agree with that. The only open question about Bradshaw is you got to be careful, because we have no idea what kind of shape he's in. However, with a player like Bradshaw, it seems like he would have kept himself in shape. So I think you might be spot on with that.
Thank you. So let's go. I want to go to I always blank on names. I got so much going on in my head. But the tight end is it Gary Barnridge? Is that the tight end?
Gary Barnridge?
Yeah. Am I saying it right?
Gary Barnridge.
I mean, hold on. Yes. The tight end for the Cleveland Browns. I noticed you used him against me in the league where you put up 87 points, and he put up about 85 of the points for you. This is an emerging tight end in a tight end class that's fairly weak right now, especially with some injuries.
that are going on, a lot of injuries in the tight end field. And of course, now we're in the bye week, so you're losing tight ends like Jason Witten this week. This is a guy that's had two very good weeks in a row, RC, and I know you love him. Is this a real deal? Is he a real deal tight end, somebody you can use week in and week out now?
You know, he's really interesting because, you know, in terms of his, like, his measurables, he's definitely pretty quick for a guy his size. I mean, he's 6'5", runs like a 4.6", and I would say, yeah, and you know what's bad about this? And it's really, remember when Jordan Cameron was supposed to be the guy last year? I'm kind of wondering if Jordan Cameron could ever be a consistent player, because now you've got Barnage in this offense, and he's doing what Cameron should have been doing last year. You know, Barnage has been around. The only thing surprising about it, he's really been around for a while, and you kind of wonder why it took him so long. He was actually originally drafted by the Panthers, I believe the class of 2008. You kind of wonder why it took him so long. But, you know, in terms of, once again, in terms of measurables, pretty fast guy. Some people have him listed at 6'6", which is a great size for a receiving threat. So I would, and plus, so far you can't argue with the results. Honestly, when I picked him up this week, was I expecting anything like that? I would have, you know, I was really expecting, you know, equal chance of 4 catches for 50 yards and, you know, 2 targets for 3 yards, you know. Didn't expect him to go off like he did, but he sure looked good. You know, the guy that at the tight end position that's really looks good, that looks like he's becoming a elite player, is really Tyler Eifert, you know.
Oh, my God, Tyler Eifert has been absolutely dominating. And like I said, the season where you've had such weak performance out of tight ends outside of, obviously, there's a handful. And Jenkins, I don't want to try to say his full name, Stephon Jenkins, I mean, when he might be coming back this week, but I think when he comes back, he'll add a little pop to that class. But in the short run right now, it's been terrible. And so guys like Eifert and Barnage and obviously Gronkowski have just been filthy this year. And even Witten's been all right this year, at least if you're in a PPR league, he's been very good for you. You know, those kind of guys are still getting the show, you know, they're done. But all the rest of the tight ends, unless I'm missing one offhand, have been inconsistent. Ladarius Green's been inconsistent. Now you have Antonio Gates coming back. Will he be just as dominating the rest of the season? Most likely will be, and hopefully he'll add some pop to this class. But it has been a tough year. By the way, in the halfbacks league, I did offer you T.J. Yeldon or Dante Moncrief. Will you take that trade?
I saw that, and the reason I didn't immediately reject it is because I'm really thinking about it, because you know how I feel about T.J. Yeldon. But I just love Moncrief too. But the only thing that might be holding me back from doing that, if it was a conventional 2 running back league, I'd probably do that in a second. And I still might do it. But, you know, as you know, the format for halfbacks is you have the option of starting 1 running back. So running backs aren't as valuable, you know. And of course,
I understand,
but
it is your fabled T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, I still might do it. I think it was a very fair trade. Yeah, you don't offer on.
No, I don't.
You know who's the guy that makes the best trades? Smitty, because they'll be like so. They really seem like they're so one sided in your favor, and then they end up not being. And
oh, God,
this
no.
almost seems like that same kind of thing. So are you trying to pull a Smitty on me?
No, I lost Kelvin Benjamin in this league, and I drafted Reggie Wayne with the hopes that he would, you know, I mean, this is obviously a deep league, 16-team league. I mean, understand, it's a 16-team expert league, one that Mr. Mann thought was a joke. I mean, if he knew the competitors in it, he wouldn't quite say that. I'm just a little thin at wide receiver, and I am very healthy at running back with, I got Yale. Who do I have at running back right now in this league? Let me take a look at it.
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
I have
Freeman.
Freeman. Yeah, I got Freeman. I got Niall Davis in this league. I drafted Niall Davis in this league. I have Carlos Hyde. I have Bishop Sankey. I have Carlos Williams, and I have T.J. Yeldon, and of course with Malcolm Agnew as one of my rookie picks. So this is a league where I'm incredibly deep at running back. So I firmly believe that it would be highly beneficial for me to give you Yeldon, who is one of he's not the best running back on my roster, but either is Dante Moncrief the best wide receiver on your roster. So I thought, you can give me the young wide receiver, you can have the young running back, and because right now my wide receiving crew, besides Benjamin, who's on the IR, is Crabtree, Garcon, Justin Hardy, who I can't wait to see what he could do, Demaryius Thomas, obviously Reggie Wayne, and Terrence Williams, who one of those guys will not be on my team after this week, most likely Reggie Wayne, of course. So I am looking to, swap some depth for some other depth. So if you feel it's beneficial to you, remember this is a keeper league. T.J. Yeldon could be the next, LaDainian Tomlinson, next Marshall Faulk. You never know.
Well, that's a great sales job, and like I said, I'm still thinking about it. So you still have Reggie Wayne on your roster?
Well,
is that because of nostalgia or?
It's just every time I go to the waivers, there's like nobody to pick up. This league is so deep because the rosters are so huge and there's 16 teams that there's really just never anybody to pick up. It's not that I'm trying to keep Reggie Wayne. It's just that there's nobody to pick up. It's just one of those leagues. So, I'm trying to pick up somebody this week. There's definitely some people out there this week to pick up. But that's why I said he likely won't be on my roster this week. And I have tried to cut him a few times I tried to pick up people. But I'm looking at it right now. This is the best play, the best wide receivers is like Robert Woods and Malcolm Floyd. I don't know who cut Andre Johnson. That's a rarity. Now, that's a guy
If you drop Reggie Wayne, I'm going to snatch him right up and make him my accountant. Because I'm having some problems with my salary budget, so Mr. Wayne, I think would be perfect for that.
Well, on that note, I think we need to put a little wrap, a little bow on this show. I just want to know from you, do you have any other stuff that you want to cover before we go?
If you just want to go quickly through the major injuries, like we said, Julio Jones should be okay. Oh, you know who makes it back this week is Martavis Bryant. And he's practicing fully. So that's definitely a guy, if for somehow he's available anywhere, you definitely want to pick him up. Carlos Hyde didn't practice today, so we've got to keep an eye on him. Devontae Adams for the Packers was limited. Marquise Lee didn't practice again. Does he ever practice? I don't think so.
Because even though he doesn't want anything to do with him.
I know. Whether he practices or not, the result remains the same. We're never going to see him catch anything, so why bother? But that's – oh, and of course on your Cowboys – like you mentioned, Casella's been named starter. By the way, that's a huge mistake. I don't think that's going to work out very well. But we're probably missing some news, but it's getting late.
We had a fun show, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. I really enjoyed your monologue.
I do apologize for wasting so many people's time with my monologue. Maybe I didn't waste too much, but I just wanted to get that point across because I'm just kind of tired. My ears are tired in this world of ungrateful people, people who wouldn't even be where they're at today if it wasn't for other people getting them there. And I always do recognize that, even in my own life and career. And that's why I say, loyalty is key. And in the end, 10 years from now, there may not even be a serious fantasy radio channel. I remember, years ago when the biggest thing in fantasy sports was the Blog Talk Radio fantasy sports channel. It was just the biggest thing in the world, and now it's nothing. Now it just doesn't really even matter. So for people to think like this is, maybe this is the evolution to satellite radio and then, of course, mainstream and TV and all that stuff,
sure, we'll see, and I hope so. But right now, you know, for people to, you know, just to get on their high horse with their, you know, fantasysports911.com, you know, sites and all that stuff, listen, it's an industry that grows and comes and goes, and there are some great people in this world, RC, that played in that really helped this industry out that are no longer involved in it. And it's not because they were bad. Sometimes you have family issues. Sometimes, you know, you don't have the time for it because you have to have a day job. I promise you right now, nobody on Sirius Fantasy Radio is making enough money to get through their day job. They're just not. I mean, because, you know, you have to pay to be on it. Just for the record, you have to pay a lot of money and advertising revenues to be on Sirius Radio. It's not a day job. It's simply something that you do, and you have to find income elsewhere to do that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's great. You know, hey, more to you. If you can do it and you can get away with it, you're an awesome person. But in the long term, RC, you know, we're here for the listeners. I mean, I could have stopped doing this show years ago. You won't let me. Because I was just like Greg Kegel, Kellogg, and Mike Kuchera, where I kind of wanted to retire and just enjoy fantasy football for being a person in it. But, you know, I love you and I love the listeners, and I will always be there for them as long as they want me to. And that's how I'll say goodbye to you today, RC.
Okay. All right. Very heartfelt, and everyone appreciates that. But, yeah, so great show. And
I'm trying a little bit. Give me a second here. You too, sir. I love you. I love you. Stop it. You stop it. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% confidence.